number 8, Architect, Engineer, and Environment Services.
From the Director of Architectural Engineering and Environmental Services Section, Facilities Management Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report responding to audit's recommendations regarding residency of contractor employees working on county construction contracts. At our October meeting, a follow-up report was requested. This item will also be considered by the Committee on Economic and Community Development. The report today is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. High, could you give us a brief synopsis about your report, and then we'll entertain questions from the committee.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, my report was the report that was submitted at last cycle. There is an addendum to or supplemental information from that to my report from the Office of Corporation Counsel. I believe that's the report that was submitted this committee cycle. It goes at great length into the actual law of the state with regard to the issue. It talks about, I guess it starts out talking about the background of the county's residency goal process and program. It ends with questions from supervisors. There were three. The first one was, what if any are the effects of the Wisconsin law? And that's summarized, and it goes into great length about the summary. The first relevant point has to do with the state statute prohibiting a bidding method that gives preference based on geographic location of the bidder. They make some discussion in there about the bidder's residency, the actual company, as opposed to their employees. Our goal is established, or the policy is to focus on the workers on site, not the company that's employing them, and they make that distinction here. The second relevant point they talk about is the requirement to award the bid to the lowest responsible bidder, and it talks about the concept of low responsible bidder, includes the definition of the two terms, responsive and responsible. I won't get into all that detail, but the final relevant point is that the state law waives its own requirements as necessary for political subdivision to obtain federal aid on a project. We are not aware of any federal programs that impose a local contractor residency requirement. Typically, they prohibit that and work at the airport with FAA money and highway work with state federal highway money. Prohibit use of geographic preference. The second question was, what steps are available to Milwaukee County within the law to force or persuade contractors to use the county residence on county-funded work? And that's at the top of page 5. They did an analysis of the state law, and it says Milwaukee County can continue to use the residency goals found in May 31st, 95 resolution. Talks about modifying the resolution to impose a requirement rather than a goal, that's a possibility. It states that in order to do that, there would be significant data collection required. Supposedly, that would be my staff and my architecture, engineering, and environmental services resources that would be needed to make to collect all that data. I don't currently have resources for that. That paragraph ends with, if the board wishes to continue the residency goal or create a residency requirement, they recommend that it be adopted as an ordinance rather than as the resolution that we're currently using as a basis for our work or our policy of residency. Third question was, what enforcement mechanisms are available to the county where contractors do not meet the goal? And it says, because residency is a goal, not a requirement, some caution needs to be exercised. The best approach is to consider past performance. That's what we have been doing in administering our policy with regard to residency. We're tracking contractors that do not make the 50% goal, and we send them a letter after they complete a contract and don't meet the goal, after the first default in that area. And we're at a point now where we do have a number of contractors that have not met the goal on the second go round. Some of them are close. They're in the high 40s. I guess that's a judgment call as to how hard we come down on them with that regard, whether they made a good faith effort or not, and that's something that we're going to work with the audit department and corporation counsel to formalize and develop a consistent policy. So I guess with that, we currently use a rationale. If a contractor who's failed to meet a residency goal on one or more past contracts, we possibly could exclude them from future bidding for a period of time. We call that debarment. And we have not done that yet, and I guess we'll be looking carefully at that. And as I say, my report, the original one, said we'll continue to work with Audit Services Division and Corporation Council to ensure that the process in place for accumulating payroll data and monitoring compliance is functioning as intended and in compliance with all applicable laws, and that's how we're going to proceed. If you have any questions, I believe Corporation Council and Audit are here.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I do have questions. So first, this, on this issue of goal versus requirement, it seems to me that the goal is a countywide goal. The department is the one charged, obviously, with meeting the goal. So when you then contract on individual projects, obviously you have a lot of discretion. In some cases, you say this project isn't going to, you know, it's not going to have the requirement, it's not going to have the goal applied or something. But does the contract not have it as a requirement? Some level of it remains as a goal even in the contract. There's nothing requiring any level of satisfaction.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, it's a fine line between goal and requirement. I guess it's probably a legal distinction that I would defer to Corporation Counsel, but from our practical application or administering of the contract, we talk about it as a goal, but in the contract there is a goal to be that we say we'd like them to meet. And there's reporting to be done during the course of the contract. And if they don't meet the goal, there are sanctions that can be taken, such as debarment, if they don't meet the goal. There's a affidavit when they submit their bid form that says they've read all the contract requirements and they're aware of them and understand them. And at the end, in the contract closeout, the final invoicing, they have an affidavit that says they've met prevailing wage and residency performance goals. And so the contract has those provisions. But the idea, this definition between a requirement and a goal is something I think I would defer to Corporation Counsel on.
Would you like Corp Counsel to come up?
Yes, please. So, and you can comment on that, but I have no problem that we've put this in ordinance, and I'll be happy to take the lead on that. But I think you'd be well served by offering some suggestions on how it would most effectively be accomplished. I mean, when I authored the resolution a couple years ago to basically resurrect this, we maintained it with that same language of goal language, really giving the department that discretion of how to get there. You know, I didn't think that we took a heavy-handed approach, and if we put it in an ordinance and we're pushed to make it a requirement, if that's the only way we can get it accomplished, I mean, I know there's going to be criticism for that. So you've had a couple years now since it's been resurrected to really bring forward recommendations on how we can actually meet this. And I'm frustrated by the fact that we're still sort of back at the same spot, saying, well, first of all, that there was even some question about whether we could do it. I never believed that that was legitimate. So I guess I would ask, what is your commitment in terms of moving forward? I mean, do you want to be told how to do it, or are you going to bring forward your recommendations on how it would best be accomplished?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, we have made a commitment, and we are meeting the goal in significant amount of contracts. The audit department is charged with reviewing our process and presenting data that shows how well or how many contractors haven't made it. I think the focus of the audit reports to date has been our process and holes and weak areas in our process, and I'm certainly committed to fixing those and making it a lot more robust from the data gathering and determination of whether they meet the goal or not, and whether they're, you know, how aware they are of how serious this is, you know, those kinds of things. There are sanctions that when they bid on a project, there are sanctions that will be taken when they don't meet the goal. And I guess that's the area that we were struggling with, is how hard to come down on somebody that is at 48% as opposed to 50. If it appears as though they haven't made a good faith effort and they've ignored the goal, even though they said in their bid documents they were going to meet the goal, then I think we probably need to be a little more heavy-handed in that regard. And maybe debarment is according to the Corporation Counsel's opinion, is probably one of the things that we can do because of past performance. Maybe she can weigh in.
I think the most... The most available and strongest remedy at this point is debarment from future bidding based on past performance. To go further would require, depending on how far we go, further study. As I point out, I'm not sure that a good approach is to just refuse to pay after work has been done. That raises the question, do you want to pull somebody off a job partway through if they haven't met a goal? That creates other problems. But clearly debarment is available and I think should be an effective remedy. It could be stated more strongly to contractors that this is what's going to happen in the future. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, can I follow up on that?
Sure. And then if we call up, since it was mentioned that the audit department plays a function, if they could come to the table and respond to any questions.
We'll
pull up another chair.
One thing I wanted to clarify, Greg mentioned the need to collect data. If we were going to go to a full, strong requirement, actually that would need to it would need to be done by somebody outside. It would need to be done by a disparity consultant. I mean, this is a very detailed and exacting study that needs to show there's been past discrimination, disadvantage that can be corrected now through this requirement. So it's a complicated process, and it needs to be it would need to be done in that fashion to make it a full absolute requirement.
Did you want to follow up, Supervisor?
Mr. Chairman, even though the spares, that's how we have our DV program now. We have done a spares program, and when we renew, when it expired, we have to come back and do another spares program to see that it worked. We have done those before in the past. Oh, I'm sorry. We have done those in the past, so that would be no issue. And we did have an outside consultant who done that. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Herrig, you can add some to the conversation.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as Mr. High mentioned, the five recommendations that we had were primarily process-oriented, but there's always been this underlying question of legality, and there's been an underlying or ongoing discussion about sanctions. I think what the Corp Counsel opinion does is it gives a lot of clarity to those issues of the legality and the sanctions. So my suggestion to you would be that you direct us to develop ordinance language. I think ordinance language clearly has more weight. We haven't in the past on this issue seen the need for it, but you notice that there was a long gap in compliance on this because there was a decision to not pursue this policy until it was resurrected by Supervisor Lipscomb. So I think the way to proceed would be if you want this to be codified, you should direct us to do it. The previous item that you just had from Dr. Anthony was an issue of waivers. So clearly there's going to be an opportunity in drafting ordinance to delegate some discretion to the administrative branch of this government and to have some reporting back to you if there's a desire for that. So I think we've made a big step forward here with clarity on the legality and the sanction process. We just need to get that written up for you so we can move forward. I will say one other thing, Mr. Chairman. In my experience, Mr. High has at every step of the way done what he could, everything he could, I believe, to help make this work. The decision to abandon this whole process for a period of years was not one that he made on his own. And in our work with him, I think he takes policy seriously and will work with you to affect it. And there has been an uptick. Mr. Chairman, one other point. You know, we had this downward slide when the policy was abandoned, but as we pointed out in our last report, we were either back up to 47% or 34%. The problem was the process didn't leave us enough information to determine where we really were on the goal. And I think that sounds like a minor point, but that'll be fundamental to figuring out if we're getting close to or over 50%. We need to work on process so that everybody understands what contractors need to do to document what they've done and what managers of contracts need to do to hold them accountable.
Okay. If I can, Mr. Chair, on a different point. So the opinion references the federal prohibition, but it doesn't, I don't think it quotes from it or anything. Is the federal definition, does it have no similarity to what we saw in terms of that state statute where it's about the geographic location of the bidder, and or does it specifically talk about residency as a prohibited practice?
It specifically talks about residency in the broadest sense as a prohibited practice. It's in the Code of Federal Regulations that the DOT, U.S. DOT, has issued to guide its contract administration. So there's no room there, okay. Unfortunately.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. Yeah, I've heard this now for years, and I've never seen the actual language that, and you know, in the similar way that we were hearing that same thing about state statute, and you cleared that up, and I appreciate that. I'd just like to be able to see that. I'll defer, but I'll try and craft a motion here for a referral on an ordinance drafting.
Thank you, Supervisor Lipscomb. Other comments by supervisors? Supervisor Mayo, then Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we during agenda setting, we talked to Mr. High, and the court counsel was not there, that we was going to set a little group together because of not to keep saying a sanction, to make sure that we put some waivers in there, to make sure that we, if they did not meet the goal at the time, that they would not be able to bid on that process or they would be denied, but also give them opportunity to get back into the program to show that we are fully operating. We're taking this very seriously. And so that committee, we would like to get together with you, Mr. High, and whoever else would like to participate to craft this properly. And I like the ordinance change, Mr. Chairman, but we need to make sure that we get a little bit more substance so we don't meet and go against any federal guidelines or any state laws. And some of those ideas came out in agenda setting. And with the ordinance change, I can ask for receive, place this on file, but the ordinance change don't have to be with this particular item, am I correct?
Well, it could be a motion referring this item to that was what I was thinking of, a motion referring the item to Corporation Council Audit and Architecture and Engineering to develop an ordinance that would.
Okay, I won't make that motion.
Okay.
Supervisor Jersey?
You know, Well, a couple of things. I mean, let me just ask first about this resolution, that you've got this resolution from Krug and Diliberti, which, knowing both of those gentlemen, this goes back quite a while ago. I mean, it's almost 20 years old. Is this the existing policy? Is this what we have?
That's what's on the books now as a statement of the board's policy or rule.
Because I would like to suggest that things have changed in 20 years. I want to caution my colleagues. I would much rather be focusing on diversity and affordable housing than the issue of residency. First of all, this idea of a goal versus a requirement, I think Corporation Council has done a very good job of laying out current statutory provisions, which may get us into some concerns. But more importantly, and having been an employee at Milwaukee Public Schools in my first career, which goes back a long time now, Milwaukee passed a residency requirement, and I, as a result, changed careers. I would have been a teacher to this day, a retired teacher probably, instead of a lawyer, had MPS not passed residency. They passed that residency back in the 1970s. Now, since then, residency has caused a lot of issues, and if you get into the whole issue, residency in and of itself can be gamed in a system, and they have ample examples of that. Residency is not the same as domicile, as I think Corp Counsel has pointed out. Residency is an issue that can and is gamed when you start requiring, quote, residency as opposed to true domicile of an individual. But more importantly, you know, if the values of this county, which is continues to be an area that is the most segregated, talking about these kinds of issues may in fact make those issues worse. We reinforce segregation in some ways when we talk about residency rules. I'm much more concerned about affordable housing and making sure that the sewer pack study that was just recently presented to this board, and which, by the way, the Ozaukee County Board voted against the recommendations, to me that's where the battleground is, to talk about affordable housing and diversity in our employment. Instead of getting ourselves caught up in this whole issue of residency, which I think is going to be a can of worms for us. And by the way, there's an old saying that if you uncork a can of worms, it's going to take two cans to reworm them or recan them. And I think that's what we're going to end up with. I just really would like to caution my colleagues and ask where our heart is going to be on this. I'd rather be talking about diversity and affordable housing than residency, and that'll be the end of my comments on that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Jerzyk. Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason why I have to respond to my colleagues, I respect her opinion, but let me come back with residency, giving people opportunity to move where they want to live. Second of all, with MPS, my wife was an MPS teacher since 1977, and she could live anywhere she wanted. When they changed it, she was grandfathered out, so she still would be able to live outside of Milwaukee County, city of Milwaukee. Then when she came a principal, they said, if you're going to take this job, then you come back into the city. So if you've been in that system a long time, you could have stayed where you was at. But when we talk about this program is for the total Milwaukee County. If a person lives in Milwaukee County, they have the right to, if we're using our tax dollars, we should look out for our residents so they can live, have an opportunity versus somebody from Stevens Point who we locate them down here, put them up in a hotel, give them a per diem to eat and everything else. But that person at that man's house who don't have nothing to eat or not even a job to do can and able to do that job, I'm sorry. I will work with this. The Milwaukee County, there's a lot of things that we should be working on. We should be a good safety net. We're trying to get rid of our mental health now. The people who are still going to be walking around in Milwaukee County. So we need to make sure we take care of everyone and help everyone if we can.
Thank you, Supervisor Mayo, Supervisor Jerzyk.
Well, I have to respond. First of all, I do predate your wife on that. I started with MPS in 69, which is starting to show my age. And I understand the grandfathering in. I had my master's degree and was working towards a principal position, and therefore the residency was a requirement. But more importantly, you bring somebody in from Stevens Point and put them in a hotel, they could claim their residency, which is not domicile, is in Milwaukee County if they're staying in a hotel for 6 months. This is just part of the gaming of the system that I'm talking about. You know, this truly is becoming a regional area. Everybody is talking about the M7. We're even talking about the three-state economy now. And this area was just selected by a group that studies regional economies. For the first time, the United States is being studied, and they chose the Great Lakes area. I can tell you this board is out of touch on this issue. I prefer to leave this as a goal. I think a goal is a good thing. I'm not against having our residents get jobs. That's wonderful. But if you start to go down that road of making this a requirement, now you're going to have some real legal issues. You're going to have gaming the system, and I think we're going in the wrong direction. We should be really talking about these other issues that encourage, you know, segregation of housing and so on. And unfortunately, I think residency rules reinforce that. So that's my only return to Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Supervisor Jerzyk. I believe Supervisor Lipscomb, you wanted to make a motion?
I would. Mr. Chair, the motion would be to refer this item to Corporation Council Audit and Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services to draft an ordinance that formalizes the existing 50% residency goal on county construction projects and develops contract requirements designed to achieve compliance with a report back by the July 2013 committee cycle. 2014 committee cycle. And I'll share the language. July?
You said July?
Yeah. Unless if anyone thinks they... It's taken 2 years to get here, Mr. Chairman. two years for me to get confirmation that it's legal.
I didn't say a word. You said July. July is
Chairman, if I could, my understanding would be that the current resolution is in effect until that point.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't set this aside, right?
Question on the motion.
Supervisor Jerzyk, what would you like to have clarified?
Well, I just want to have clarified from Supervisor Lipscomb that he's asking for a goal, not a requirement.
Well, it would formalize the goal, and it would. And I'm leaving it open for them in terms of how they might adopt contract language that would achieve the goal. So they might. It's still a goal for the county. They might make it a requirement on certain contracts. I'm leaving it broad, but I want them to develop the best way to actually achieve the goal.
I can support you on the goal, but if you're going to make it a requirement, I won't support it. I need
it'll be on them what they bring back. So if you don't like what they bring back, then we'll be voting on an ordinance at some point.
Yes, I was going to say this about the construction of an ordinance.
Is there a desire to have it different than July? Is that a broad desire or
your motion? That's fine.
I'm trying to be reasonable. I know there's a lot of stuff going on.
thank you, Supervisor Lipscomb. We do have the referral now to Corp Counsel A&E and Audit. Madam Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Mayo.
Aye.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
No.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
5-1. The motion to refer this item to Corp Counsel, Audit, and A&E and ENS is approved.
Thank you. I'm going to follow the ship.
All right. Thank you. We're still in transportation, public works. Item number 10.